Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
WGN. Welcome to the Steve Cochran Show on this fine Wednesday. No rain, going to be 80 degrees.
Beautiful.
Hey, why don't we give something away to start things off?
That's a great idea.
I do. Pair of tickets. How about this? To the Sistine Chapel Choir's first ever U.S. national tour. They are the oldest active choir in the world, the Pope's Choir from Rome, and they will be performing one night only at the Airy Crown Theater on July 21st. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com, but they are going extremely fast. So let's give away a pair of tickets right now. Caller number 7 to see the Sistine Chapel Choir.
And look, if you don't go this time, they'll probably come around again in, I don't know, 100 years.
Right. They're like the eclipse. Yeah. That's how often they come around. All right, so we had some serious problems today, aside from your dog being sick and you had that issue at home, which I'm sure we're going to talk about at some
point. He's fine.
And you stepping about. In it, literally.
Okay.
We won't talk about
that. I would say I wasn't going to bring that up.
All right, so of course, two seasons in Chicago, winter and construction, and we're right in the middle of construction season, and this has been your plight, you and Sandberg's, for how many years now? Many years for you.
Well, no, it's
the
been,
express lane.
But it's been a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But also last year for a while, it seems to happen periodically. I don't know if this is construction related. So why don't we
go to the expert. Let's go to Mary Vandeveld, future Walk of Famer on the 7th floor of the beautiful Tribune Tower. Mary, we have traffic issues and traffic questions for you. So we're just going to vent for a few minutes here.
What about the express lanes being closed?
Well, I'm going to vent about that, but
that is a good question. I see people when I leave lining up because they're not open, but they create this traffic snafu because they line up waiting to get on the
expressway. Oh, going outbound.
Yeah, outbound.
It's like the cell lot at O'Hare. I mean, and people waiting for flights to get in. I mean, you can't just stop in the middle of the on-ramp and wait for the express lanes to open.
Especially when the locals are probably doing okay at that point, so just go in the locals.
I've never understood the express lanes anyway. They all should be carpool lanes.
So more than one? No.
Well, they really should.
How are you going to police that? It's just...
Well, the same way they do in Los Angeles and other places. You have to have a blow-up dummy
in
every car.
Right? But why do they... There should be almost a website, Mary, because the time in which they change the express lane outbound and inbound varies every day.
Yeah, here's my question. Monday morning, Mary, at the same exact time, they're open inbound. The last two mornings, at about 4 something, they're open outbound.
I don't know. I mean, they're...
Well, you're the Walk of Famer. How do you not know this?
Testing because they never tell us, and they don't, you know, these IDEP...
You know, it's Friday's not here yet, and we're going to need some answers.
Mary.
Do you think when we get self-driving cars that this will all be solved by the self-driving cars?
Pedestrians will be run down.
Every time you ask them, they just say the same thing. We're doing maintenance and testing. It's like, okay.
And then they change the light bulbs. How weird is that?
At a different time.
You guys have lived here your entire life.
I know.
I've lived here for 25 years. I have never saved a substantial amount of time by either waiting in or getting on the express lanes. Now, at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, it's a different story, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's just not that helpful.
Yeah.
I wish there were express lanes in both directions all the time.
Which is the point for the... This is the carpool point. If you had a carpool lane, you would get people off the regular lanes.
Isn't this all about
making it easier for me?
I wish there was just a pneumatic tube that shot me from one place to the other.
I got your pneumatic tube. You know, the other thing is this, you know, there's this thing called the sun. And when the sun comes up this time of year, people just go, oh, I can't see, so I'm not driving.
You mean sunshine delays, they call them.
Yeah, so why not the sunglasses you keep in your car for noon, wear them at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning, whatever time it is.
Put your little visor down as well.
Yeah, come on, people. It's just driving. You've been doing it since you were 16 or 17.
And put the sunscreen on your left arm.
I don't want to disagree with you, Steve, about the sun, but like where Dave and I live.
You don't have sun?
If you're driving into the sunset right now, like if you go on Willow, is that west?
It'd be a sunrise. If you're getting a sunset now, you're on a different planet.
No, I'm saying later on today, like when the sun is setting and you're driving west on any of the streets that are on the north side, that sun, I wear sunglasses and my thing is down and it is.
You can't see.
You cannot see.
Well, maybe you two should move.
Maybe you guys can carpool. Oh, wait, you don't like carpooling, Mary.
I don't like
it. If you live on a part of the planet where you can't see, you should probably move. All right, we got to get the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Time for the top six at six, where we give you six things that if you take them to work with you, wherever you're going this morning, you're going to look so smart. There's all stuff going on in the world. North Korea threatening to cancel the summit with President Trump over military exercises that go on every year that 2 weeks ago were okay with Kim Jong-un. He canceled the summit with South Korea today, and this is believed to be a reaction to things said by the new national security advisor, Bolton, and it's John Bolton, and also things that have said been said about Donald Trump, I should say. President Trump's planned summit meeting with Kim Jong-un now is said to be in doubt. I don't buy it. Kim Jong-un said he's going to withdraw if Washington insists on a unilateral nuclear abandonment. If you back this up without losing your mind, the reason that Kim Jong-un got together with the president of South Korea, which is much more in your face than what he would even do with us, is because he needs to. Mm-hmm. The country's broke. He needs South Korea. He needs the United States. He can talk all he wants, but why would he bail on the one chance he has for a meeting with the United States?
You said, don't you remember, when Kim Jong-un said he's going to meet with Moon Jae-in and when he's going to meet with Donald Trump, you said, wait, we'll see. This is all great, all the pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, it's all a big dance.
But wait, we'll see if the meeting actually happens.
So let's see if it happens, and let's quack. The Cook County Health and Hospital System lost how much money last year? Anyone? That's right, $165 million in potential revenue due to lax clerical procedures and employee errors. Again, this is a three-year study. $165 million lost because employees and were making clerical errors and just goofing up at work. That's going to get your career in show business, that kind of poor performance.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And every time Bridget Gaynor comes in, we ask her, and you know, we ask her about the old Cook County Hospital, and it's just dormant. It's just sitting there. It's this giant structure that can be either remodeled, removed, replaced, rebuilt, and that could be a huge source of income for the county.
Maybe make it into one of those places with trampolines where you bounce on them and you run right off the wall. Quack, quack, you go, girl. Women win in Pennsylvania. At least seven women running for the House won Democratic primaries yesterday in the state. Seven women. They won in districts that were redrawn after Pennsylvania's congressional map was found to unfairly favor Republicans. So if you're not a fan of President Trump and you're wondering how any women could have supported President Trump, this is the outgrowth of that. More and more women getting into the political game and women winning in Pennsylvania, and good for them.
Right.
Quack. Tribune, in a victory, a judge rules that Mayor Emanuel broke the law in withholding his emails, that they are somehow appropriately available to the public. By the way, Mayor Emanuel invited me to appear on his podcast tomorrow.
Are you going to do it?
No.
Oh, yeah.
You know me, I like to be invited. I'm not going to show up.
That's very cool. That's a big honor.
It is. That's a pretty cool podcast.
Oh, I should do it then?
Yeah, absolutely.
You should totally do it.
Yes. Yeah. I should say yes. What do you wear to a podcast?
Shorts.
Okay. That's the wardrobe. Okay. Next. A lawsuit has been filed against the father of an Illinois man suspected in the Waffle House shooting. Do we know why the father is being sued?
Yeah, the father reportedly, the ATF confiscated guns of the suspected shooter, the alleged shooter, I should say. He hasn't been found guilty yet. And they told him, keep the guns away from him. So the father is now named in a lawsuit for reportedly giving the guns back to him. One of the victim's families has filed this lawsuit.
Yeah, and I'm not being flip when I say this. No matter how much you love your kid, if your kid has a mental illness, don't give him or her guns. It seems like that's obvious. but apparently not in all cases. You remember the Newtown shooting? Mm-hmm. It was because the mother gave the deeply disturbed kid not only guns, but lessons on how to shoot. Mm-hmm. And the Bulls have balls problem. And they dropped one slot to number 7 last night. Who'd they draft?
I
need to know. Well, looking into the future.
I think there's going to be 6 teams that draft ahead of them.
Yes, but who do you see on your big fake draft board?
I don't think there's one name that stands mm-hmm. out right now at number mm-hmm. 7. You know, last year,
Joe Romano.
That same spot, they got Lauri Markkanen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he's going to turn out to be a good player. But they'll get somebody good at that position.
You're telling me there's 7 good players in college basketball?
There's more than... The problem with college basketball is that... There's a lot of good players that are only in college basketball very briefly.
Yeah, like a year.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys will be available to the Bulls. They're not going to get Ayton, the kid who probably, almost undoubtedly will be the number one player taken unless there's a kid from Europe who might go number one to the Phoenix Suns. Hmm. But, the Bulls will get somebody good there.
And by the way, if you got a kid in high school who's a really good basketball player but just not that bright, Kentucky. 1 year and done.
Yeah. For now. I mean, they're eventually going to figure something out about this rule.
Well, you don't want to hurry that up, right?
Well, you got to take care of gambling first.
Yeah, I don't know. Why basketball doesn't have a minor league system by now is ridiculous.
I mean, they've tried different things over the years.
Yeah, it just hasn't
tried
worked.
With the G League, the D League, the ABA. Yeah.
G League, you're talking about bra sizes now, aren't you? You're not talking about an actual basketball league.
No, that's right.
6:27, let's get to the rest of the program with the headlines coming up next. But first, this guy.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, all time top 10. All right, this is number 4. George Clinton, Parliament. I had the distinct honor many years ago putting on a rainbow wig and dancing with George. Dave, it was on stage, it wasn't in private.
Okay. If you say so.
It's in front of hundreds of people. What a crazy old good time he is. 6:39 now, and joining us in studio to discuss a very important thing here is Bridget Hannon-Schuda. Bridget is the development officer for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for getting up. Explain what you guys do at the Memorial Foundation.
So the Memorial Foundation was created to take care of fallen police officers and catastrophically injured officers' families.
And this is a charity and a charitable foundation we wish didn't have to exist, but it does. And you do wonderful work all the time. And it's a great time to stop down and remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for the rest of us. So what are you doing?
So we wrapped up our run to remember a couple weeks ago, and then this week is National Police Week. So we decided to get the whole city of Chicago involved in our campaign called Paint the Town Blue.
Do you notice what we're all wearing today?
Everybody's got blue. Everybody has blue on. Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Blue all the way around.
Absolutely.
And you have 70 restaurants participating in an effort to do what?
Raise money and awareness for the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation and really back the police officers and show their support.
What do we do to do that if we go to these restaurants?
So these restaurants, a lot of them are doing give backs where a percentage comes back to the foundation this week. Our website has the full list, as well as selling stars. So you can sell, purchase a blue star for $5 or a gold star for $20, put your name on it, and slap it on the star wall in any of these businesses to show your support.
Now, you dropped off a stack of these stars to Ro Khan yesterday.
I did.
And so Ro could put them in the window of the Showcase Studio.
And I'm not seeing any.
Yes, and there's no stars in the what? And you were asked to specifically drop them off by row to row.
I was, yes.
What a huge disappointment he is.
Right. We'll pick it up from there.
Now we'll call
put him
up
in the window.
We will call him later. He won't answer the phone at this hour, but we'll call him later, and we will make sure he feels very guilty about this.
Wonderful.
Andrea, do you and Bridget know each other? You act like old friends here.
We do. Well, I spoke at an event on the west side for when they were
were unveiling the dogs to represent the fallen police officers, and that was in the 15th district, I think.
Correct.
Where we had a ceremony out there. But this is just a wonderful event. The skyline, if you notice, has been blue all week, and as you say, 70 businesses. Just go in and support these businesses, and they give back to the Police Memorial Foundation. It's easy. You get to eat and you give back.
Does the blue ball still exist? Because I've attended that a couple of times. The formal event that used to recognize officers of the same?
It does not. We are actually launching our new event in November, the Valor Awards Dinner. And so that'll be the new.
I respect the creativity of this organization because there's so many great ways to contribute charitably over the summer. And everybody does a golf outing, which is great. And everybody does other things. But you guys are really getting very creative here, which is nice.
And we're really trying to get the whole city of Chicago involved versus just the people who want to golf or want to go to a dinner. Anybody can walk into a restaurant, buy a beer, and buy a star.
It's tough to talk about, right? I mean, people go, I don't know that I want to know how tough this is, but we need to understand what cops go into every day.
Absolutely.
And what families deal with. You know, you say goodbye to your husband or your wife in the morning, you hope they come home at night.
Absolutely. And sometimes they don't, and we are there to be able to step in and let them know that the police family will never forget them.
Well, even though Rokan's a huge disappointment, I have $100 in cash here I'm going to give you.
Thank you.
And then you can give out 5 gold stars to anybody you want. Pass that over. Dave, give it to her. Don't just pocket Dave.
I will. Okay, so 20, 40. It's all there. Counting.
I saw a stat. Is this correct?
You're welcome.
The foundation has raised almost $10 million.
Yeah, so when we started in 2007, since that time, we've given out $9.5 million in assistance to Chicago police families in need.
Is that the public or corporations or both?
Both.
Okay.
We have a huge support from the Chicago police. It's in the community itself, as well as then just the Chicago community.
You want to call on any corporations that are a big help? You want to throw
Wintrust
them
is our biggest supporter.
Oh, they're good partners for us. We love Wintrust.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they step up nicely.
Don't you notice, too, I mean, when we have a float in the Pride Parade, we have floats, and we're always out with our team. And I notice when there's a heavy police presence, people are always saying now, especially, thank you so much for your service. And fire, too, and first responders as well. But since 9/11, more recently now, people saying thank you a lot more.
We're seeing it a lot more, and I think that's how we are getting the support we're getting. And unfortunately, we were brought to light very recently with the Commander Bauer shooting. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really great to see the city of Chicago back the police department.
And the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, this is a non-political organization, right?
Correct.
Yeah, but I'm not non-political. And we need to get the Commander Bauer law in any shape or form done, because I know it continues to be talked about in Springfield and talked about, doesn't get things done. And now back to you. So, again, restaurants all over the city.
Yep.
70 of them. Where do we get the list?
CPDmemorial.org. And the Paint the Town Blue page has the full list.
There's a lot on here. Wow.
And the only bad news here is you're deeply disappointed in Rokan.
Absolutely.
We'll pick up the slack, though, Bridget.
Perfect.
We got it for you.
As we all are. Well, you're welcome here anytime, and thank you for that. And please thank the entire organization for the great service they're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
Thanks for coming in. Bridget.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Here comes the sun. Here comes the
sun, and I say, it's all right. We hit the big favorites, but we do have a favorite member of the CPD. You want to say hi to Carol?
Carol, Sergeant Carol Burns, 1st District. All our colleagues in District 1.
Isn't that right outside of Michigan Avenue?
Yes, we're going to be in their district soon, too, so we'll have extra police presence, hopefully.
Oh, is that right? Moving as her district?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So, I put in your request to, have the police kind of give
an
escort
in and out of the
morning building? Yeah.
The paparazzi are crazy. And here's where I can tell you that, one time I came out and there was somebody taking a picture, and I'm not sure it was a tourist. I'm pretty sure they were trying to take a picture of me. You can't be too careful. That's all I'm saying.
You get that a lot, though. Remember you were out to dinner? I think you were at Gale Street, and a friend of mine texted, who's a producer at Channel 9, and said, there's Steve Cochran. I want to go and say hi, but I'm so intimidated.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
So, I'm texting you, hey, she
Abigail's
wants to come say hi.
Oh, by the way, I got an Abigail story.
Oh, yeah.
Her grandmother's watching her yesterday, and she had a hard workout the day before, so she just mumbles to Abigail, oh, grandma's tired. They're shoe shopping. They go to check out, and 2-year-old Abigail looks at the clerk and goes, we have to go now. Grandma's tired.
And Grandma's like, shh.
Which makes me wonder, what is she saying about me behind my back to her other two-year-old friends?
Oh, that's right.
He means well, but he doesn't play that much on the playground.
Right.
He can't keep up with me. I'm really fast. I can't imagine what she must be saying.
He made me put the book back before I could watch Elmo.
Oh, yeah.
But they're very non-judgmental at that age.
Yeah.
I got to brag about my granddaughter today.
Give it up.
It's her birthday. She's
one.
Little Corey's already 1 year old. Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
I know. It went so fast.
When is the party?
Memorial Day weekend.
And I remember, my daughter's 31. I remember her first birthday party. And I remember thinking, I don't know if you went through this, Dave, thinking, she won't remember a bit of this. This is a grown-up reason to get together.
Oh, yeah. They have meltdowns. And then they have to do the smash cake ordeal.
I like that. Do you guys like that? Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cute.
I guess. Yeah. It's a new thing.
Where they smash the cake?
Yeah. And put their face and take. I guess it's a good thing because then they don't ruin the real cake. They can have their own little cake.
Does the cake have to be pretty?
Yeah. It has to look good for a few minutes.
I was under the impression that you smash the cake into the kid's face.
No, not when they're one.
Yeah.
Pie.
So both of my nephews. Like yeah.
No, you don't. Oh, but crazy Uncle Joe, you don't smash a cake into a one-year-old's face.
Both my nephews got it right in the face.
Yeah.
Well. Yep.
That's how they learn.
Abigail had her first birthday party here on the show, and she was very. One of her parties. And she had a pretty purple cake. And she was very delicate about touching it. You know, her little fingers just pinching. She didn't really go.
Well, it's funny. She didn't really have much sugar, right? Like a dessert kind of sugar right until then. And it was funny because seeing her brain kick into, whoa, this is good.
I believe every time I've seen her, I've given her sugar. And that's why she likes me.
But somehow she knows she shouldn't have it because we have a great picture of Abigail after you gave her a donut. And the donut's as big as her head. And she looks like she's hiding with the donut.
Oh, yeah. She's trying to hide.
No one will see me eat this.
Yeah. That was a glazed and infused sprinkle donut.
Yeah. So you understand.
Also, she likes those little macaroons that I give her. They're perfect for her little.
It's a good nickname for it, the little macaroon.
They don't choke on those, though.
So. And Joe, again, no more smashing cake into tiny children's faces.
What about older people's faces?
Oh, sure. That's fine. Yeah, once they're grown up, hit them with a cake.
For my first birthday, my parents gave me a toothbrush.
What?
Did they really?
They didn't have a lot of money, and I needed one, so that's what I got. And I chewed on it.
Somehow I see you at one actually brushing your own teeth.
I know. I was like, this is perfect.
Wait, that's how it started.
How do you remember that?
I've been told, and I've seen photos. Yeah. Oh. But I think my parents say it to compare to what first birthdays have turned into. You know,
It's a whole different deal.
Yeah, it's different than a toothbrush by yourself, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I do have to say I was pleased, though, with Ross and Lauren, because I think there were three other kids at her first birthday party, and there were no goodie bags.
Aww.
And, you know, I have
now you have to do the goodie
bags. No, know my stance on goodie bags.
Not for a one-year-old.
Goodie bags are ridiculous. The party should be about the person who's having the party.
You know, at Abigail's fifth birthday, Steve's going to be assembling goodie bags.
Totally.
Because that's when you start having...
You know how tough I am around children.
22 kids are there, and they're going to need help with assembly.
Yeah. And you're going to be handing them out. Yeah.
Hey, kids, you have to go now. Pops is tired.
That's maybe so they'll funny. Make you dress as a clown.
Well, how's that different? Pick one. You must pick one. Here are the three stories. You must pick one. Donald Trump. Hey, where's the $107 million? 92-year-old woman just earned her fourth college degree. And Meghan Markle's dad. Are you coming to the wedding or what? Which one?
Ooh.
Which one? Steve Grzanich. You must pick one.
What was the first one again?
First one was Donald Trump. Where's $107 million?
And the second one?
That's we're out of time.
Second one was a 92-year-old woman just got her fourth college degree.
That's what I want.
Okay.
That one.
Mary Vanderbilt.
Got to go with the wedding. It's that time.
Yeah. Dave?
I agree.
Yeah.
Megan's dad.
Yeah. Joe?
I'm with the big news right now.
The degree. Who wants to go to school for that long?
Well, you know what? Sandberg, you're the tiebreaker.
Wedding.
Wedding. All right, here's the story.
That was a surprise.
On again, off again, on again, off again. Meghan Markle's dad, who most recently was wrapped up in a scandal of his own making where he posed for stage photos, apparently shot by some amateur photographer, and they looked so cheesy, he admitted they weren't real. These were photos he was selling for money about how dad's getting ready for the wedding. Is now saying that those photos that he admitted were fake, he got back to the people that admitted they were fake because he felt like the paparazzi was picking on him.
Like they were taking pictures of him buying beer and just being a normal guy.
Well, that's what he was doing. And he was running down the street with his kind of, with his shorts kind of falling off.
Yeah. Well, he's an older dude.
Well, I know, but then don't hire someone to take pictures of you in such an unflattering...
Well, was that a staged one, or was that one of the paparazzi pictures?
I think that was a staged one, wasn't it? Because he was like running... It was like his morning routine, his workout.
Yeah, not good.
And his pants were kind of falling down.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah.
But, guys, I thought the TMZ reported he had a heart attack.
I'm getting to that.
Oh,
you're jumping
okay.
ahead.
Oh, so, you're making fun of him. I'm like, okay.
Well, no, this is all set up for this, because he had a heart attack. And nobody knew if the heart attack was real or not, because at one point there was so much dysfunction going on that everybody thought, well, maybe he's making up the heart attack. Well, he's not. And now, for the fourth time, the decision has been changed. And I feel badly about this. He's not going to the wedding because he has heart surgery today.
Oh.
He's having heart surgery today, and obviously he's not going to be able to travel by Saturday. So he is going to miss his daughter's wedding. And unlike a regular wedding, you can't cancel a royal wedding. You can't move a royal wedding. A lot of things have been done to make a royal wedding happen.
Now I feel bad.
Well, we're not picking on him. We're giving you the facts.
Well, no, I shouldn't have said his pants were falling down in the
picture. They were.
I know.
The nice thing about this case, I mean, it's sad, but there's plenty of places he's going to be able to view it.
Right.
So
he can go to a royal watch party.
Yeah, but you only get a chance to walk your daughter down the aisle a few times. She's been married how many? Oh, this is only the second. Hopefully the second and the last. So he won't be able to walk her down the aisle.
So who's going to do the walk?
I don't know, but I do know this. The bridesmaids and the wedding party, I should say, the groomsmen, they're all going to be kids.
Oh.
10 kids. 10 kids between the ages of 2 and 5, including George and Charlotte.
Oh, the babies.
And what's cuter than that little George guy, right? With that face on that kid? So that's going to be a zoo. Those kids, everybody's been to a wedding where a little kid's a ring bearer, and the little kid, you know, the little kid runs the other way or leaves the church.
Or runs down the aisle.
Or quits halfway down the aisle.
Yeah.
Didn't they do that for Diana's wedding, though?
I don't remember.
I think they did, didn't they, Andre? They had only the kids.
I think it's
too hard to pick who's going to be. She's got a lot of friends. So they were talking about this in The People once about, you know, who all
in
the
The People?
Yeah. Hey, we love The People.
In
the
People magazine?
Love The People.
Yes. Yeah. So they were.
Steve, it's serious. It is. It's a good magazine.
It is. Yeah, but who calls it The People?
It is my Bible.
Do. It is.
I read it all the time.
Women call it, I call it The People, too.
The People.
Yeah. Because Mary will say to me, did you get The People? And I'll say, no, did you? And then I'll say, can I?
It reminds me of my dad. My dad used to call The People's Court. Yeah, that day in court. That day in court show. Is that on?
The Jewels, The People.
The Jewels and The People. Look, 10 kids is going to be, that's going to make the Markle family drama look like a day at the beach.
What about Meghan's mom? Is she still with us? Can she perhaps walk her daughter down the aisle?
Oh, she's going to be there.
Yeah, is she going to be there?
Doria?
I don't know the answer.
Maybe the mom can walk her down.
Are the parents divorced?
Yes.
Okay.
Prince Philip can't. He just had hip surgery.
Well, the father...
And he's 97.
The father, Mr. Markle, has a half-sister and a half-brother to Meghan as well, two other kids. At least two other kids, and the half sister to Meghan Markle has been a train wreck.
Samantha.
And the half brother to Meghan Markle's been a train wreck. So this family's not been great. But you know what's funny is I was at the dentist yesterday. We were talking about this because why wouldn't we be? I was at the dentist, and the dental assistant made a great point because I was saying, "Wow, it's a lot of dysfunction." She goes, "Or a lot of normal."
Yeah.
In other words, when you're balancing it against the royal family and their image of what they, you know, purport to be normal, this is an American family.
Right.
You got some crazy relatives. Welcome to America.
Yeah, it's modern family.
And by the way, the Brits are just as nuts. You can find it in every British family as well, as we found out the royal family in the 90s. So we wish the Markle and Harry wedding, Meghan and Harry wedding, nothing but the best. But I'm a little sad that her dad won't be there.
Me too.
Yeah.
And by the way, Diana's did have a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old, and the rest were younger in her wedding party.
Did the 17 and 13 watch the little ones?
Yes, that was.
Because I don't think there's a kid wrangler for this.
Well, yeah, they need one. Maybe it'll be Pippa. No, Pippa's pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that in The People?
I did.
Okay.
Pippa's pregnant in The People.
Mary even knows more than Paul Coyd, I think.
Coming up, we're putting Pierre-André on the Walk of Fame. Pierre's no longer with us, but Chuck Shriver is, who I believe served as an intern to Pierre-André back in the day. And when I say back in the day, I mean back in the day. We'll talk about Mr. André's career with that gentleman coming up in another Walk of Fame profile. Also have Sox tickets on the way coming up as well. And later on, the humiliation of Rokon on the show as well. So stick around for that. Dean, oh, and Steve Dale's bringing a dog in later for you to adopt. All coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And very happy to welcome Chuck Shriver to the program to talk about Pierre-André. Well, to talk about Chuck as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
Appreciate you doing this. And where in the world are you today?
I'm in Elk Grove Village.
I understand that you've known Dave Ennett for quite some time. Is that accurate?
I absolutely yes. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Great, Chuck. Good to talk to you.
Is that through your time with the White Sox?
Yes, and with the Cubs earlier.
Okay, great. How are you feeling about baseball this season?
Well, I'm optimistic, let's put it that way. You have to be optimistic.
Yes, that's exactly right. What other option is there? A little background. Chuck served as a summer replacement news writer back in, 1960?
1960, yes.
For Pierre-André. So, and Pierre-André joined WGN in 1930. I believe the radio station itself, well, originally started as WDAP, but right. I think it was 1926, the radio station itself, WGN, on the air in the Tribune Tower. So 34 years in the Tribune Tower. Moves to Bradley Place, comes back here in the 80s. But you started working as this summer replacement in 1960. How old were you then?
I think I was a fast 20 years old at that point.
And Pierre-André, there's some perspective. Pierre-André is going to be installed in the Walk of Fame on Friday. Had already been at WGN 30 years.
Yes,
he was like the Orion of the day.
Yeah, he actually was. That's
been
a good point.
30 years.
Was it an intimidating place to work?
Well, yes and no. I 3 years earlier, I'd been working on a dairy farm on my dad's farm, so I was shoveling manure 3 years before I started WGN. Is there a correlation there?
There may be, yeah. Yeah, we were working in Chicago News, right?
Yes.
Pierre worked for over 30 years as a host and announcer. He worked on Little Orphan Annie, Helen Trent, Betty and Bob, Backstage Wife, many broadcasts, the live dance music. By the way, Chuck, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to see some of the great old photography we have here from the 30s and 40s.
Yes,
and
I have.
Probably, I mean, those things are unbelievable.
It's, everybody's dressed to the teeth, and, three-piece suits and white shirts and ties. And I remember Pierre-André as being a very, very dignified man. He had a little pencil-thin mustache, and he always looked like he'd stepped out of Gentleman's Quarterly.
Well, this was kind of a it's radio, but this was an expected wardrobe, right, back in the day?
Absolutely, right.
So you were expected to wear your suits and ties to work.
That's very true.
Was that the Ward Qual era?
Yeah, very beginning of it, actually, yes.
All right, so a summer replacement news writer, what does that actually mean? What did you do?
Well, I wrote the newscast that the announcers read in those days. In those days, none of the announcers actually wrote any of their copy. They were given it to by guys in the newsroom who put it together for the 5-minute shows and the half hour headlines and whatnot. And so I replaced guys who were on vacation while I was going to school in Northern Illinois. But I was lucky to get a job there 2 summers, 60 and 61. And as such, in 60, I think it was Pierre-André's last year. He may have retired late in 60 or early in 61. But
okay.
I would prepare the newscast and bring him into the studio and just stand there in awe and watch him read it.
So did he edit your work?
No, the announcers just read verbatim whatever you put in front of them.
That had to be nerve-wracking as a kid. What if you put something in front of them they didn't like?
You're absolutely right. The one guy that ad-libbed around was Jack Brickhouse. I would give him a script, and he would talk around it. He didn't actually read it much.
Chuck, what was one of the stories that really stood out that you were writing, like a big story of the day that you were writing and you were nervous to give to Pierre because he's going to deliver the news on the air?
Well, I don't recall if there was one. That was a long, long time ago. I'm going back in the cobwebs. But I would just... it was just fun to watch him read it because he never made a fluff. He was very smooth in his delivery, and I can remember as a little kid hearing him on Little Orphan Annie's particularly, and I would just stand there and watch him. It was just amazing. I never realized I'd be within arm's reach of, you know, someone like that.
Yeah, they were big stars, and
absolutely.
Pierre-André was, well, I'm trying to think of a current equivalent, but Orion's probably fair.
Yeah. So,
in Orion, you must have, did you cross paths with the young Orion Samuelson back then?
Oh, yes, yeah. he probably doesn't remember it because it's so long ago and I was just a kid, but yes, absolutely. And then later at WGN, when I was there full-time out of Bradley Place, television and radio were pretty homogenized. You know, everybody did everything.
Dave, say hi to your old friend.
Hey, Chuck, again, it's good to hear your voice. And I have to ask you about, you worked with some gentlemen I've been fortunate to work with over the years, in Jack Brickhouse, you mentioned Jack Rosenberg, one of the all-time greats, is still going strong and was inducted a year or two ago into the WGN Walk of Fame. But you worked on Night Beat, and going through college at Northwestern, I watched Night Beat every night. What an experience that had to be.
It was a lot of fun. Yes, the late night news TV news show had to do a wrap up, and interestingly enough, of the day's events, and Carl Grayson was the announcer on that. He had a great voice. He couldn't ad lib his name, but he had a great voice. And he hated sports. And of course, being the wrap up for the day, I ran a lot of sports on the news show. And Carl would kick names around, and he would come off the air afterwards. He said, "Why do we have to do all this sports?" I said, "Well, it's part of the day."
Right.
A lot of people listen to it.
Did you used to write the 10:55 sports special on radio?
Yes, actually, I did for a while. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I don't know if you're going to be able to join us on Friday, but Chuck, you've seen more history than we ever have here, and I know Pierre-André co-hosted the 40th anniversary WGN special, which, what would that have been, 1966, maybe, something like that?
Somewhere in there, yes, right.
With Jack Brickhouse and Eddie Hubbard. Who is your, and obviously we're talking about Pierre-André here, but who was your favorite person to see in the hallways back in those days?
Well, I think Wally Phillips, because he was so quick, and he was always had a smile on his face and always was telling jokes. And he was just fun to be around. He was off the air much like he was on the air.
Is that right? Well, that's good to hear. I had a nice experience with Wally at the end of Wally's career, but certainly didn't know him back in the day. But that's great to hear, because there was no bigger radio star than Wally Phillips back in those days.
He used to take great delight in calling when I was in with the Cubs in spring training in Sarasota. Scottsdale, Arizona. He used to take great delight in calling me at this hour in Arizona, which is, of course, 5:30. In March, and get me out of bed. And the first thing he'd say before I had a chance to open my mouth, he's, "Remember, we're on the air live."
Well, you've had yourself quite an amazing career, sir, and I certainly appreciate you getting up to do this, if you're not already up at this hour. But, Mr. André, you served him well, and thanks for coming on and talking about him, too.
It was a lot of fun to watch him work. It was at the end of his career, but it was just a great pleasure to see somebody like that and be that close to him, and, you know, and realize that there was somebody who was you know, a legend in his mind, and I'm there standing there talking to him.
Yeah, it's pretty heady stuff for a kid.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. Hold the line if you would. And, you know, the interesting thing is, and one of the great things about WGN, among the many, and for all of us blessed to be here and to work here, is there is that history that goes back, and it's not going to be too far down the road where we're going to be able to say a century of history, where people can interlink the past with the present and the type of radio they were doing back then and throughout the entire thing. What's the one linkage? This place has always meant so much to the city of Chicago and to the state of Illinois and to the Midwest.
Yeah.
And it would have been cool, though, to go back then and just drop yourself into the hallways then and see what that must have been like here.
Yeah. Oh, my God, no kidding. Looking at those pictures is so cool.
Just
in the hallway.
What people wore, you know?
Yeah.
They were just so dressed up, and now look at us, you know, ripped jeans. It's like,
oh, not Steve.
No, I'm in a tuxedo each morning.
Yeah.
Wally Phillips, And again, Wally was very nice to me, and you know, didn't have to know me from Adam, but he was very nice to me at the end of his career. And Wally, to me, is still the most amazing radio talent ever because of not just what he did on the air, where he was a huge star, but the work he did off the air to get that show on the air and interlocking what he did with the 10 or 11 people he had to work with specifically every morning, the forward thinking he had to do. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here. But all the commercials in the early days were played off records.
Yes.
So there was a record turner, a record person that had to put those, a union record person who had to put the records on, drop the needle on the record. There was also records for sound effects, along with a live sound effect person at one point in his career. Point being, you couldn't just get on and yap.
Right.
You had to have a plan, and you had to make that plan sound like the whole thing was ad-libbed. And it's pretty crazy how good he was at it.
As I think Marilyn Miller would tell you, and she produced for Wally for years, I always wondered, the story was Wally would go to a coffee shop up on the north side, not too far from Bradley Place. And those are the days when I was working the morning show with him. And he would go and have breakfast before he came to the station. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all I can do is grab the coffee, get in the car, and get to the studios. Sure. But I think a lot of that had to do with preparing himself for a show that was ahead with all these moving pieces, yep, as you talk about, Steve.
Right, right.
I mean, it's really remarkable.
Can I just add one thing, too? And on the air and off the air, the Neediest Kids Fund, I explained to someone the other day, someone
deal.
Very young who that's obviously didn't
deal.
Know, the Neediest Kid Fund, I would almost argue that he would had set the path for people doing charity work, you know, in our business. Off the air as well.
Well, yeah, and am I right about this? Didn't the Neediest Kids Fund create the McCormick Tribune Foundation? Wasn't that the one, too? Or was the McCormick Foundation first?
I'm not sure of the sequence, but they were certainly intertwined.
Yeah, the success of the McCormick Foundation, I think, is directly attributed to the Neediest Kids Fund.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks is the bottom line here. Thanks to you and your parents and your grandparents and everybody who's ever listened to this place. We could never thank you enough for that.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Axios reporting this morning that the pro-Trump media machine is cranking it out. And when Mueller in the investigation hit the one-year mark in a few days here, that there will be a considerable press push, not just on Fox News, but other places to wrap it up. For the 9 millionth time, the fastest way to wrap this up is for the center of the investigation, President Trump, to agree to be interviewed. And then the pressure from the public and the media to wrap it up would be more appropriate. Otherwise, leave the man alone and let him do his work. And Bob Mueller doesn't need any protection from anybody. Guy's a prosecutor's prosecutor, Vietnam War hero. He is an exceptional American. But all of us, I don't care how big a Trump supporter you are, all of us should want the same thing. Allow the man to get to the bottom of the investigation as to why Russians interfered with the 2016 election, what they did, how they did it, and how to stop them. And the president of the United States should be for that. I don't know how anybody could argue that. And the idea that Donald Trump could perjure himself because everybody lies, not in a sit-down with a prosecutor. People tell fibs. People bend the truth. Hey, honey, I'm going to be home in 15 minutes. I'm home in 45. You look great in that. No, those jeans don't make you look fat. You know,
wait, what, that's a lie? Wait, what?
Yeah,
that's
your mother-in-law is fine. All of these things are little things. But if you sit down with a prosecutor like Bob Mueller and Bob Mueller's team, and you're the president of the United States, I don't know why you'd have a problem telling the truth.
You think there should be an exception for treason?
Yes, right? The famous treason exception.
Yeah.
Mr. President, do the interview. Tell the truth. If you're innocent, you have nothing to worry about. And if you're not, well, maybe that's why you're not agreeing to do the interview in the first place. Back with more in a moment, and you're going to do the headlines after this on 720 WGN. Oh, by the way, John in Algonquin just won the Sox tickets, a family pack of four for the White Sox and the Orioles on Tuesday, May 22nd at 7:10 p.m. You keep listening. You hear the Sox sounder. It's your cue to call in to win seats to the Sox all season long from 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Every time I move, I lose when I look, I'm in. And every time I turn around, I'm back in the
Super Joe getting it done. You know what this is? Bobby Caldwell.
Hey, my feelings below.
Back in love again.
Excuse me, I'm only human. Sometimes I just don't know. Every time I move, I lose. When I look, I'm being.
Love this record.
Every time I talk,
I may have a disc jockey flashback this morning if this continues.
Yeah.
7:45, Phil Rosenthal reporting this morning that Netflix and ESPN are collaborating on The Last Dance, a 10-hour documentary on the rise of Michael Jordan and the NBA. ESPN announced the Jordan Project in conjunction with its upfronts this week. The upfronts are the things that the various networks and cable outlets do each year to try to get the sponsors interested in their programming, the new shows that will be out. They don't do a cancellation party where they announce all the shows that have been whacked. But ESPN is announcing that the Jordan Project, in conjunction with its upfront sales Tuesday in New York, where it's also announced something called Pivot with Alex Rodriguez. I don't know what A-Rod's Pivot series is, but I'm told it's a four-part series on ESPN Deportes, which features interviews with athletes facing career challenges.
Is J-Lo in it?
Yeah, they're pretty tight now, aren't they?
I think so.
I mean, isn't it coming up like on a year? Let's go to Sandberg. Sandberg, you've been watching this. How long have A-Rod and J-Lo been together?
It's over a year now.
And Mary Vandeveld, did you read that in The People?
I did, and it's definitely over a year.
Hey, was A-Rod the gift basket guy?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Derek Jeter was the gift basket guy.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm confusing my Yankees.
And Derek Jeter swears he didn't give gift baskets to women he slept with an autographed ball in it.
Even though they all seem to have one.
It's like art imitating life.
7 a.m., honey. There's an Uber downstairs with you, but take your basket as you go.
I know you guys all remember Jordan, because obviously we all do, but I was in eighth grade when that started, when they started winning.
Mm-hmm.
And from a kid's perspective, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen, you know?
Oh, it's tremendous.
When I was in fourth grade, when he started playing, every boy in my class played basketball with their tongue out.
Yeah, because he wanted to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah, so it's funny because Patrick now, Steph Curry is their Michael Jordan,
yep.
And so they all think they're going to shoot like half quarter, whatever.
Yeah, threes, routine
right. No one
threes
will take a layup.
80 feet.
Right, but so in our era, Jordan was doing layup, is that what it's called? A layup?
Yeah,
with
layup.
The tongue out, you know, like,
yeah.
Except for a cooler
mm-hmm.
version.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this to come out, this 30.
The Last Dance will be produced by Mandalay Sports Media in conjunction with NBA Entertainment and Jordan's Jump 23. By the way, Michael Jordan's production company, along with his ownership stake in the Charlotte Hornets, along with his endorsement fees, he is now estimated to be worth $2 billion within the next 2 years.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a pretty good run.
And people still wait in line at the Nike store when the new Jordans come out.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played in almost 20 years.
Yeah. Well, you know what it's going to turn out to be? Some form of the Arnold Palmer thing. Arnold Palmer hadn't won a PGA tournament, a regular PGA tournament, since, I think, 1973. And every year he made more money in endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN said the series will feature other notable figures in and outside of basketball and draw from more than 500 hours of previously untapped footage from the Bulls' last championship run. And anybody remember? 97-98. Yep. We're 20 years from the Bulls' last championship run. Remember what it used to be every winter? Yikes. Jason Eyre did the documentaries including Andre the Giant, the 85 Bears, and the Fab Five. He's going to direct, so you know it's going to be good. So there you go.
I watched the little trailer thing of it, and they have a clip of Jordan saying, you know, that feeling, that pain of it hurting and then winning is so good, and he wanted it every year, and it got my emotions all going.
Well, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, but if Phil Jackson doesn't come in and say to Michael, look, you don't need to score 40. You need to pass occasionally and spread the ball around, maybe none of that happens.
That, yeah, that. And also the acquisition of guys around him.
Sure, Scottie Pippen and everybody else.
Yeah. I mean,
but changing Jordan's style of play, where it was Mike and four other guys,
yeah.
I think was key.
Which is, you look at Cleveland now and what's happening with them.
Yeah, LeBron and the others.
As great as LeBron is, but partly he doesn't have the talent around him now that
right.
Jordan had, so he right. has to do that.
Scottie could play again.
Scotty looks okay.
Wouldn't be good for the waitresses in Cleveland and the waiters because he doesn't tip.
What championship was it? What championship was it where Jordan was sick? Remember he had the flu?
And he
was against Utah. I think was that was against the Jazz.
That was 4 or 5.
96, 97.
Okay.
Yeah, that was 4.
Wow. Yeah, that was that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was
Super Joe. He had a lot of games.
Super Joe, the sports Wikipedia on this staff.
He had a lot of games where he was under the weather. Might not have been that everybody remembers that when he had the flu.
Yeah.
But
yeah, okay. Listen, I've done a show with a tickle in my throat. It's exactly the same thing.
It is.
It's so similar.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 756. Another fascinating story that's out today. It's about Anne Frank's diary. Keep in mind, Anne Frank, when she went into hiding, was 13 years old. And the diaries of Anne Frank are legendary for someone who was being, she and her family being hunted by Hitler's Gestapo. And, of course, she eventually died. But in the diaries were some redacted pages for a long time. We know that on those pages were kids' dirty jokes. She's a 13-year-old girl, you know, and a growing girl, and, you know, interest in stuff. And
sure.
She quotes were, "I'll use this spoiled page to write down some dirty jokes on September 28th, 1942. This is a couple of months after she went into hiding. She was 13 when she went into hiding from Nazis with her family, kept a diary throughout her time. And, I mean, these dirty jokes are harmless kids' dirty jokes,
right.
But it's you know, I don't know. In a way, it's sort of comforting to know that she was able to spend a little bit of time just being a kid in that way, right?
She had a little bit of normalcy going on in spite of everything.
So that's out there today. Also this, Audrey's got a piece of sound she's going to play for you now. Now, BuzzFeed spends most of their day trying to come up with ways to distract you from working.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a survey or something to tell you which of the Friends characters you are, if you take it, whatever the case may be. That's a day on BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed goes back to, were they the original ones who did the dress thing?
I think they did, yeah. The whether or not the dress was blue or gold.
Yes.
Remember that?
And that went viral and everybody spent most of their working hours looking at it.
Looking at it, right, and posting it online.
Okay, here's an audio version of that dress. Somebody put this word out.
Yes.
And this word was indecipherable to most, but the person who did the story asked people to say what the word is.
Okay.
We've tried it in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Dave and I came up with completely different answers.
Yes.
And our answers are completely different than the ones that seem to be coming up the most.
Yes.
All right, so you're going to play the sound?
I'm going to play the word.
All right, so you tell me what this word is.
And they're going to repeat the word a couple of times. It's one word and they're repeating it. Here we go.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay. Yanny.
Okay. What? Dave?
Well, I said...
But I don't know what Yanny
is. Now it sounds different. It sounds different now.
What did you say originally?
Than it did through the earbuds. I said Mary, but now it sounds like Laurel.
It's Laurel.
Stop it. Laurel. You guys hear Laurel.
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 Yes.
See,
L-A-U-R-E-L.
I hear him saying Laurel. Yanny.
I don't hear an L in there anyway.
I don't either. What?
I didn't either until I heard it on the air.
Right, let me hear it again.
That is so funny. All right, here we go.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
I swear, I don't hear L-A-U-R-E-L. I don't hear a single one of those.
I don't
all
either.
I hear.
That's all
now.
I hear.
So that is the debate, and they first thought it was men and women, but Steve, you and I are hearing Yanny, and Mary Vandeveld and Dave Ennett are hearing Laurel.
Oh my gosh, I can't hear. I tried
what
to hear Yanny, and I couldn't
Joe
even hear you.
Super Joe and Mary, what do you guys hear?
Laurel.
Yeah, I hear Laurel, too.
What is Amber?
Kidding.
Amber, what do you think?
I'm now hearing Laurel.
They're hearing Laurel.
Are you playing the right one?
I am.
With the assumed Laurel, I still don't hear Laurel.
I don't either. I don't hear one L. Grzanich, did you hear that as well?
I heard Laurel.
Play it again.
Laurel.
Well, there.
Yeah, Laurel.
That's Yanny.
It's Laurel.
No, well,
it's Laurel.
That time I heard Laurel.
Okay, no, but that was the same
not.
One.
Get
no, that
town.
Time I did.
No, it's this, and I'm playing the exact same. I'm just hitting the same button. It's the same. Here it is again.
Laurel. Laurel.
Now I'm hearing
Yanny.
Laurel.
No, you
that
aren't.
Is so
don't
weird.
Don't leave my side. I'm
no,
going to be the only one.
That's what happened to me because I said Mary when
Mary.
I listened through the earbuds.
But I heard Yanny the first 12 times I listened to it.
I did too, Steve.
There's no Yanny sound at all.
You guys are joking. This is a joke, right?
No,
I swear.
No. This is for real.
No.
This is number one, the number one trend right now on Twitter.
Well, let's see what I'm susceptible to suggestion-wise. Dave, say, I don't know, kumquat. Let's see if I hear kumquat.
You ready?
parsnip.
Laurel.
Yeah, kumquat. I'm hearing kumquat.
See, I just hear Yanny.
Yeah, that's what I heard,
it is
but
funny.
Now I'm hearing Laurel. It so anyway, what's the story on the
right
split?
Now. So it's 50-50 right now. It's BuzzFeed posted the video, as you said, with different people saying the exact same word, and it's 50-50 right now. People are voting on
but
Instagram
I don't know. Now
Twitter.
I'm concerned that I'm having a stroke. How did I go
no,
from
no,
Yanny
no,
to
you're
Laurel?
Fine. I thought the same thing. It's like when they'll put a picture of a dress,
yeah, the blue
and they'll
and
debate
gold
the
dress.
Color.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
We're talking
same
about,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, are we, well, tweet, we don't need to tweet it out. It's all over Twitter.
Oh,
you can check it out on Twitter.
Very funny.
And on Facebook.
So what's the correct answer?
There is none. Just, it's 50-50 right now, what people are hearing.
It's Laurel Yanny.
It's a time waster.
Can it's we come up Yanny with
our
Laurel.
Own? Can we do our own?
Yeah, we'll just say a word, see what people think it is.
Cochran.
801, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Saturday, partly cloudy, 78, cooler along the lakefront. Woo-hoo. Sunday, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers and storms. Some of these could be strong, and this is the warmest day of the next five. We'll make it up to 80. Yanny.
Hey, play it for him, because he doesn't. Yeah, you're a scientist, Tim.
Okay.
This is science mind.
Yeah, I've heard this.
I know, but play it again.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
Try it again. I'm sorry. Try it again.
Laurel.
Skilling.
Laurel. Skilling. You're hearing Skilling.
Yeah, I always hear
okay.
Skilling.
All right, you're hearing Skilling. Laurel. All right, that's great.
Okay.
Laurel.
What are you hearing now?
Now I'm hearing Laurel.
Yes. No, I hear Laurel.
So when I switched to, I heard Yanny and now I hear Laurel.
I hear Laurel. I heard Yanny earlier, but now I'm
so
hearing Laurel.
Weird.
All right, wait, now I'm hearing Yanny again.
Laurel.
This is an effort to control our minds.
This is so weird.
Laurel.
And it's the same, I'm hitting, it's the same thing.
You know, if you play this for the president, he hears Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Live to Channel 9. Dean, you've been to enough award shows. You know when the band plays you off because
yes.
your acceptance speech has been too long?
Yes, I do.
If Dean and I go too long today, you won't hear Yanny or Laurel.
Yanny.
You'll hear a 21-piece drum line play us off.
At about 8:25.
Roughly.
It'll be the first time ever that the segment will be on time, by the way.
Yes, that's right. All right, my fellow ex-disc jockey, I know you remember this song. Joe, play this song for Dean. Let's see if he knows what this song is. Coming back to it all, I know you didn't play this on WNUA.
Up the pieces?
Nope. When the horns hit, I think you'll get it.
Every time I move, I lose. When I look up,
Back in Love Again. Remember Back in Love Again?
I do remember this song. I don't remember who did it, though.
I have to apologize to a listener. I got cocky, and I said, oh, don't question me on this. This is Bobby Caldwell. This isn't Bobby Caldwell.
No, Bobby Caldwell. This was like 70s.
This was Bobby Caldwell was 70s. This is Jeffrey Osborne. Here's the song from Bobby Caldwell that was his only hit, his only big hit.
What you won't do.
Hey.
You probably played this on NUA.
This we did play on WNUA. Along with Yanny / Laurel.
That was his second biggest hit.
In my world, only you.
Bobby Caldwell, so good. Anyway, I apologize to the listener. They're right, I'm wrong.
What brought up Jeffrey Osborne?
The Super Joe played the bump, and I thought, oh, great is this?
Oh.
Bobby Caldwell.
Yeah.
No, Jeffrey Osborne.
Technically, it was the group that Jeffrey Osborne was in at the time, LTD.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's what the listener said. And they're right, and I'm wrong, and I'm stupid.
77, everybody.
Ryan Reynolds and Josh Brolin, your good friends. You hung out with them in New York and compared abs. How'd that go?
Last couple of days, they're still looking for mine. It was great. We're on the red carpet for his new movie Deadpool 2, which I've seen already and is very funny. If you love the irreverence of the first one, the breaking of the fourth wall of the first one, it's very hard R-rated. A lot of you are going to have your kids going, Mom, why can't I go see this movie? You let me go see Avengers. This one is much, much, much more R-rated than any of the others.
Necessarily, or does it take away from the movie?
No, I don't think it takes away from it because it's meant to be you know, the bad stepbrother to all the other Marvel movies. It's supposed to be naughty. It's supposed to be, you know, just be one bad thing after another in this. I think it's very funny, and I especially love the breaking of the fourth wall. Ryan Reynolds and his character of Deadpool frequently referring to things that happened in Avengers Infinity War, which is pretty funny.
So you recommend?
I am going to be recommending it. Steve, this is not a review.
Not a review
at all. I will be reviewing the movie on Friday, but in New York City. You know, you've seen Ryan Reynolds. He went on South Korean television the other day and sang "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow."
Yeah, we talked about that, in a unicorn hat.
In a unicorn hat. It's actually a game show that they have there where somebody comes out in a costume, full costume, and sings. And the celebrity panel there has to figure out who it is. That's a regular game show. One I wish we had here in America. That right. would be fantastic.
Anytime you can wear a full outfit that includes a unicorn helmet yeah. and sing. I mean, you got a lot going on there.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, I mean, he's been doing like all kinds of crazy things. He appeared on Colbert last night. I mean, they're definitely taking a very irreverent approach to marketing this film, which is what I talked to Ryan Reynolds about, and then also sat down and talked about Ryan Reynolds with Josh Brolin.
And you're going to have both of those on TV because we don't have the audio.
We don't.
No, it didn't Ooh. Stick. It didn't stick for some reason.
Well, that was a hell of a setup.
It was a great setup. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
All right. I want to take the break so we can come back and get the drums on. But,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, but front row seats to Hall & Oates Friday at the United Center in Hamilton, doing a private show for President H.W. Bush. Chance the Rapper and Goose Island. What do they have in common? That's all coming up. But my favorite text of the day. There's two here. One says, Yanny, Laurel, I hear jelly. And then another one from the 630 says, all I hear is frickin' idiots.
Well, that's
okay,
that's,
well, that goes with that.
That's every day.
Yeah. You're listening to Moron Entertainment.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, Dean is back in the WGN TV newsroom, and at any moment a drumline might come in. Chance the Rapper, what's he doing?
Chance the Rapper received a $300,000 donation for his charity group called Social Works yesterday from Goose Island Brewery. They are celebrating.
Well, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Well, and listen how they raised it. $25 for every pint of beer that was purchased.
That's a lot of beer.
Since January. That's a lot of beer. I haven't done the math on this of how many beers that actually is, but they raised $300,000 by taking a quarter from every pint of beer. Uh-oh. Since January. Steve, it's time.
This is the Chi-Tech drumline. And Dean is playing bass. All right, crank it up.
Now, the amazing thing is that Jeffrey Osborne is playing drums. And it's awesome.
And I thought it was Bobby Caldwell.
I love a good drum line, don't you?
And a good drum line is very cool. Here's the weird part. Sapelsa's playing with him. I thought he was gone.
He always comes back for special performances.
This is so much better than the regular show.
I don't want to say anything, but, you know, in this newsroom, a lot of people show up with hangovers every day. This is not conducive.
No, and what's funny is they bailed on the last 3 seconds of the drumline to go to a break on TV.
So,
hey, you got a schedule, man. You got to keep it.
Hey, Steve, we have commercials to run.
I understand. Believe me, I understand.
That was a nice little.
It was very nice.
Like a little musical drumline sorbet. Cleanse our palates.
Moron Entertainment featuring a really cool drumline this morning. Hamilton doing a private show for.
I think this is amazing. Hamilton just opened in Houston, Texas. And they put on a private performance for 41 for President George H.W. Bush in his private office yesterday. They brought the show to him. He had said that he was very much looking forward. He and his wife Barbara were very much looking forward to seeing Hamilton when it came to Houston. Barbara died last month. So they brought the show to 41 yesterday and performed in his office.
That's a very cool story.
And he said American history had never sounded so great. He's still recovering. If you'll remember, after the funeral of his wife, he was hospitalized with an infection, still recovering a little bit. But he said once he's a little bit stronger, he wants to actually come to this theater and see the whole thing put on.
And free tickets to Hall & Oates?
Yeah. I wanted to share this with everybody because we're giving away front row seats to see Hall & Oates.
Oh, here she comes.
You keep going.
Watch
I
out, boy.
I can't go for that.
Yeah.
No
okay.
can do. Do
Sarah,
a little
Sarah, smile! It's a tough note for me to hit.
The notes sound a little better coming from Daryl.
Really?
Well,
that's entirely true.
They are at the United Center on Friday, but we've got four front row seats to give away for this. The way that you enter is by going to the TV website, WGNTV.com/contest, and we'll pick the grand prize winner tomorrow at 12 noon. Hall & Oates, who sang songs like...
Maneater. Why can't I think of the other hits?
I got one.
He
came and he gave.
You're a rich girl. And you've gone too far, but you know it doesn't matter anyway. Go, Dean!
She's gone.
You're telling me that it's going to be better than this on Friday?
It's hard to believe.
Do you guys think, will they sing, I Can't Go For That? No, no, no.
No can do.
I can't go for that.
Yeah, that one too.
How does that go?
That one just like you did.
Say it isn't so.
Yeah, not one of their best.
I love their song. I love all their songs. I love Hall & Oates.
Why don't you just keep the front row tickets?
Yeah, well, you know, who's going to know, really?
Right, exactly.
Who's going to know you see my big bald head sitting in the front row?
I can't go for that. No.
You're going to try until
you
do. Is
that Dean Richards?
Oh, please.
Wait a minute.
Remember their famous song, Laurel?
Yes, I do. That was very, very good.
I remember their song, Yanny.
How about a Yan Eater?
Is it wrong that I hear, I heard you guys play it and I heard Laurel. I heard it played earlier today. I heard Yanny.
Yeah, I heard Yanny over and over again. And then I think it's Grzanich's fault. Grzanich said, no, it's Laurel. And then I heard Laurel.
I'm concerned that I'm hearing two different things.
I thought, I'm the same way, man. I thought I was having a stroke. I want to know? I want to know who did this because I want to choke them.
Sorry.
Kim Jong-un. It's Kim Jong-un. Yeah,
it's someone named Chloe Feldman.
Oh, okay, well, then I take it back.
North Korean trick.
Thought it was some dude.
Young girl.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. That's Dean. Go say hi to the drumline.
Yanny.
They're not Yanny. It's 8:30. Back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We could be legends after all.
Back live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's 8:43 now, and this is... Oh, I lost my notes. This is show number 2,844. Let's just say.
I think that's...
1147? Show number 1147, I'm being told. Dave, we are surrounded by rugby stars because we got a big event coming up when?
November 3rd.
Right.
Soldier Field. It is the Rugby Weekend 2018.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
There's going to be...
Do we have a collection of international teams that we'll be playing,
Dave? That's a very good way to play. You have it noon. You have the USA Eagles against Black Ferns.
Mm-hmm.
3 p.m. Ireland versus Italy.
Right.
5:15 p.m. USA Eagles men versus... it's the Maori All Blacks.
Oh, the All Blacks, of course, the famous New Zealand All Blacks. As you know, I played rugby. I was on the Two Whites. Remember that?
Yeah,
T-double-O,
remember
two
that.
Whites?
Yep.
Yes, that's exactly right. We actually have a New Zealand representative here. Kendra, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Where in New Zealand?
I live in Christchurch in the South Island.
Don't you have a summer place there?
I used to. It was a timeshare.
But you did as well.
Yeah.
How long have you played rugby?
I've played rugby for 25 years.
What was it? 25 years? You look like you're 25.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Thanks.
You started in the womb?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what happens in New Zealand.
The 25. Well, what drew you to the sport? Family?
What drew me to the sport is I actually did some tap dancing with my twin sister. I annoyed the class and got kicked out and got shipped off with our family friend down to a rugby training and picked up a ball and never looked back.
Well, you look like a very nice person.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know how that could be if you've played rugby for 25 years.
All rugby people are nice people.
Well, they are nice people. It's a tough game, though.
It is a tough game.
Tough game. What's your position?
Halfback.
And, well, how good are you? Are you a star?
We'll see in November.
Ah, look at the modesty.
That's good.
Let me go to Alton. Alton, where are you from?
I'm from Kerry in Ireland.
Yeah. You're a big dude, man. How tall are you?
6'5", maybe?
Dave, measure him. See how tall he is.
I'll take his word for it. 6'5" looks about right.
Yeah, my position.
Same story. How many years have you played?
I picked it up at 13.
Yeah?
12, 13. So about 10, 11 years.
Right. And which team is yours?
My team is the Irish rugby team and Connacht Rugby in Ireland.
Are you off season now? Are you in between seasons?
No. The season's still going for those who have a... There's a competition still going on, and the final of that will be in a couple of weeks. And then,
what is the ultimate championship in Ireland?
I suppose the Champions Cup. It'd be involve England, France, and Ireland, and Wales, and Scotland.
But the ultimate goal for the sport is the World Cup?
The World Cup, yeah. That'd be the ultimate international goal.
Which will be where this time around? Where's the World Cup going to be?
Japan.
In Japan?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Sir, identify yourself.
Ciao, I'm Eduardo. Ciao. Nice to meet you.
Eduardo Gori?
Yeah. Eduardo Gori.
Gori. Eduardo Gori.
I'm Italian.
Yes, I could tell. Eduardo Gori from Italy. And tell me about your team.
I play in Treviso, Benetton Treviso. It's a club in Italy. And I play for Italy as well.
Have you been to Chicago before?
No, it's my first time. And I have to say that it's amazing.
Beautiful city, right?
Beautiful city, beautiful people.
And very where nice. Are you from in Italy?
From Florence.
Oh, Florence is beautiful.
Yes, it's outstanding. Yeah.
One of the world's most beautiful cities.
Yeah, maybe, yes. But I think Chicago is good as well.
Yeah, did you grow up in Florence?
Yeah, I grew up in Florence.
Oh, look at you.
I was very lucky.
Yeah. Is the accent real, or are you just trying to pick up women while you're
I just have to give some accent, but...
Because I think you'd do fine anyway, probably. And one more, my USA friend. What is your name?
Bryce Campbell.
And Bryce, tell me about you.
I grew up about 4 hours south of here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
The home of rugby.
Yep. Yes. As you know it. No.
When did you start? Are you a college guy?
No, I started when I was in middle school, about 11 years ago. I was lucky enough.
Where was a middle school rugby club? It's not, you guys know this, right? Mm. Rugby in America, it's not the same. It's not like you pick it up the way you guys do. It's just part of growing up.
Yeah, so they started a little club league around Indianapolis when I was in middle school. Like, I was one of the first years of when they started it.
Right.
And there was just a few teams around. And
what drew you to rugby over football?
There was a weight limit to run the ball in football when mm-hmm. I was growing up in the Catholic League. So I could pick up the ball and run in rugby and pass the ball, which I wasn't allowed to do in football. I had to be on the line or on defense. And
yeah, I'll tell you right now, aside from being fast and constant movement, and I'm not just kissing your butts because you're here and being tougher, rugby is a much more demanding game on all levels, on top of the fact you don't get to wear a lot of padding. Rugby scrum. Dave, you ever been in a rugby scrum?
I played
some new friends.
I played one time in college. I think that's all you need to know.
Yeah, I played a little rec as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it was a lot of fun, but
yeah.
It's tough. And you probably got striped in football, right?
Exactly.
You were a certain weight limit,
so
you couldn't play. Now, will you guys, Eduardo and Alton, you'll be facing each other at Soldier Field, right?
Absolutely.
Have you ever played before against each other?
A while ago. Can't really recall too much, but we'll keep an eye out for each other this time.
Eduardo, are you 6 feet tall?
No.
You got a 6'4", 6'5" dude here. What's your move? How do you handle him?
I try to go away from him.
Run in the other direction. Kendra, what's the secret to the women's game?
It's obviously growing over the last couple of years, and the skill level is just as good as the guys these days.
And is it gone up in popularity around the world? It's always been a huge deal in New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, like last year it was the fastest team growing sport in the world for women. But, you know, I think that's changed. I don't know what sport's taken that over. But, yeah, I mean, especially here in America, they're going really good over here now.
What's the equivalent of the All Blacks for women?
The Black Ferns? Is that what you're
talking? Well, the All Blacks team, you know, being this world-renowned team.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to do the pregame ritual, but what's the female, or what's the women's team equivalent of that?
The Black Fins.
The Black Fins, yeah. Right. Which will play when?
They play on November 3rd in the first game, right? The
first
match.
Game. Yeah, first match.
And who are they playing?
USA Eagles.
The USA Eagles? Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, you ought to be able to beat the USA Eagles, don't you think?
Oh, they're a great side.
Is that right?
Yeah. We played them in the World Cup semifinal last year.
And, Bryce, do you guys scout this early, or you wait till you get a little closer to the matches before you figure out what you're doing?
For this one in November, we'll wait. We've got a few more before then that we're worried about. We won't start looking at this one until probably October.
And what does USA Rugby do in the summer?
We've got June Test Series. We play Russia in Denver, and then we play Scotland down in Houston, and then we play Canada up there, up north.
Up north, but you're not leaving North America.
Not in June.
Yes, but this is giving you an opportunity, I'm sure, to travel the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Been all over the place in the past year and a half.
What impresses you about the international side, sir?
Their skill level, when you go across the pond and play teams like Ireland or Italy or New Zealand, it's a completely different level. It's something that for the U.S., we need to get more games like that because we want to start knocking on the door and start competing better and start beating Tier 1 countries. And just getting the exposure is really fun.
Who's the biggest star in American rugby other than you?
Probably a few of the sevens players are pretty well known.
Give me a name.
Perry Baker.
Okay.
He's big in the sevens. And then for 15s, Blaine Scully's pretty big name.
And outside of the pure numbers, what's the difference between the sevens and the 15s? You got to be faster to play in the sevens?
Yeah, probably faster. It's just you have to be in different condition.
You got to cover 15, a larger amount of the field, right?
Larger amount of the field. You got to be a bit more physical in 15s. Less space to maneuver, so sometimes you got to go through people.
Biggest stars in your country? Biggest rugby star in Italy?
Castro Giovanni, I think, and Parise. Very famous.
Can you make decent money playing rugby in England?
Not a lot. No.
Not a lot. Play for the love of the game?
I love the game, yeah. It's my passion, but not that money.
But do you have to have a
professional player, but...
Do you have to have a regular job as well?
No, I just play rugby.
Okay, so does country support the sport in that way?
Yeah, it's growing up. It's like here, it's not the main sponsor. This is soccer in Italy. It's
right.
The main sponsor, the main sport. But now it's growing up, and I think it's going better now.
What about in Ireland? Can you make a living in Ireland playing rugby?
Yeah, you could. You would do. But in Europe, most of the money would be in France and in England.
Okay.
They'd be spoiled for choice for
sponsors. And, of course, in New Zealand, it's the richest people in New Zealand are all rugby players, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Apart from the women.
But we got to get more money into the women's game.
Yes. It's getting there.
But the draw is tremendous, right? You always get great crowds.
Yeah, it's getting there. We had record crowds at the World Cup last year, getting more exposure and more people watching it.
Good for you. I mean, you guys are all tremendous athletes. Yeah. Yeah. Dave, last word from you.
Well, Kendra's being modest, too, because she's a world champion, by the way. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Well, she's in, you know, and she's around me. You know, and she recognizes another so, stellar athlete. She didn't want to brag.
What do you hope, Bryce, being from Indiana, I would imagine you'll have a pretty large rooting section here on November 3rd?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. What is an event like this do for the sport in this country?
Other than people calling you for comps.
Yeah, a lot of that. It gives kids something to look at. And with the game growing for kids young as 5, 6, 7 years old, they're like, oh, I want to be a professional rugby player now. I want to go out and play. And that's what we need. We need more games like this so that they can see and they can be, oh, I want to be like that guy. Because there's not too many opportunities for them to do that yet.
Am I right about this? There's less concussions in rugby. Yes or no? Less comparatively.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason being is because
it's more technical.
It's more technical, and you're not just trying to slam a guy into the ground all the time.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting anywhere that way.
True.
But that rugby scrum. Ooh. Meet some new friends, Dave. Did I mention that?
Oh, yeah.
Scary stuff. Listen, it's an honor to meet all of you. It really is. And the city should turn out in record numbers for this. How do we get tickets, Dave?
Let's see.
Well, I'm calling you at home.
TheRugbyWeekend.com is the website.
Okay.
Tickets go on sale 2 o'clock today for Bears season ticket holders. And all the information's there at the website.
TheRugbyWeekend.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling parents, if you really want to get your kids into something that's going to have them incredibly physically active, that I mean, I truly believe this. I believe it's safer than football and safer than hockey and safer than even safer than soccer. You don't get kicked in the head as much in rugby. That's really a goal. I think you ought to look into it. So, and that's cool that you were able to do it at such a young age.
Yeah. I was very lucky. Yeah.
And Steve, we've been asked to participate in an exhibition match November 3rd. I can't because Northwestern's playing. But
I'll be there. I'll be there.
I figured.
Yeah, it's for guys 57 and older. And what happens is we have one scrum, we fall down, and the game's over. that's it. Because it takes a while to get up. TheRugbyWeekend.com. Stay healthy, you guys.
Thank you.
Have a great time.
Thanks for being here.
We'll see you in November.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Just a sad display, David, of the women on this show.
What was that?
Just a pathetic.
we needed photos for the gallery.
Eduardo, the hot Italian dude, is in here, and you guys just fell all over.
No, we did not. We like how they kept saying the baseball.
Have you had an elbow in the ribs like that?
No. Let me explain something. I was kicked out of the photo.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I was literally told by Sandberg, you're not in the picture.
And they had to request, they had to say at the end, oh, can we get one with Steve?
I know.
Listen, I watched the whole thing on camera from up here. It was ridiculous.
It was just ridiculous.
I'm thinking about booking a weekly rugby segment.
Just with Eduardo?
Yes. With all of
Bryce,
them.
Bryce can come as well. So.
Yes, Bryce, very attractive.
Good job, girls. I enjoyed watching. Thanks, man.
You know, this is how you treat God, just like a piece of meat.
Respect rugby.
But here's the thing. Eduardo, in Italian, said, my eyes are up here. Yeah, you guys didn't understand it because you don't speak the language.
Come on, his name is Eduardo.
Oh, my God. Oh, the accent. Oh, fantastic. Or fantastico.
It's not like his name was Tony. It was Eduardo.
So fantastico.
Hey, you guys have set the bar so high on this show, Steve and Dave and Joe and Steve. You guys have set it so high that we're just used to this caliber of athlete.
Yeah.
We see you every day.
It's not even Eduardo's accent. See you every day. It's not even Eduardo's accent. Yeah. He's like from Barrington.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that makes the whole thing even worse.
It's funny when they put the in front of things.
Yeah, and Eduardo couldn't possibly speak English here, showing off that accent. Eduardo's outside now. He actually looks like someone walking down the street with meat. Women are chasing him. It's unbelievable. All right, minute after 9. CLTV, hi, how are you? Welcome to this zoo. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN. It's just my
dog and me. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Nine 13 now, back in the Allstate Showcase studio. Dave has a new friend.
Max.
Steve Dale's here, and Steve Dale's here to help us adopt Max. I think our record's still flawless, Dave, when you roll around on the floor with a dog.
Yeah, true. Actually, that is very, very true. And this is a very sad day for me. Maybe, I hope not.
What do you mean?
Because I don't know that they allow dogs where we're moving.
Oh, in the new building?
Yeah. You'd think before they signed the lease, that question would be asked. I'd ask it. I don't know.
There's got to be dogs. You can get
it's
a comfort dog for me that you're bringing up, because I'm comforted when the dog gets adopted.
I understand that. I understand. But
that's
that would
interesting.
Be
I hadn't even
cheating.
Thought about that.
Yeah, yeah. But Max is the most amazing dog. So Max is a German Shepherd mix rolling. Oh, gosh. I hope the TV cameras have got this now.
So
you can't
Dave's
see
on
Steve.
The floor
yeah.
Again. Dave's
yeah.
on the floor.
And Max is rolling over saying,
we can
rub
see
my belly.
Dave. We can't see Max. It looks like Dave is giving someone CPR on TV.
You can move Max a bit, maybe, so we can see Max on TV. So
we need to get Max back near the director's chairs a little bit, and you'll be able to see him.
Good boy.
There you go. Come on, Max.
There's a bond there, I think, that's happening.
Yeah. So, Max likes Dave.
And all the people walking by on Michigan Avenue does
exactly.
like Dave. So Max is probably a German Shepherd mix. Colette Bradley from Anti-Cruelty Society is here.
We love Colette. Nice
we
to
love
see you
Colette.
Again.
Nice to see you
Oh, and
guys.
Colette is getting her master's degree. Hey, isn't that nice?
Congratulations.
Thank Her you. Graduation is this weekend.
Congratulations. Oh, so you're done.
I'm done, yes.
What was your thesis?
It actually was involving shelters and open admission versus no-kill shelters.
Oh, really?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, we have to talk.
We will.
Yeah, yeah. That's fascinating to me. So tell us about Max.
Okay, Max is 7 years old, and he came to us from a shelter in Alabama. He's very
You can tell by the accent when he barks.
He does. He has a cute
Woof,
little
y'all.
Accent.
Y'all.
Exactly. Yeah. And he is very dog-friendly, very friendly with people. He shows little bouts of energy when he sees other dogs.
I think he's got a lot of energy for a seven-year-old pup.
He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But in a good way. Yeah. Not like this crazy amount of energy.
Right.
And we don't know Max's story. My theory, and it's only that, is that the owner passed away because Max was clearly well taken care of. Max is probably 2 or 3 pounds overweight, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you don't always see that in
shelter
dogs.
See, I have a different theory. I thought Max wanted to leave Alabama after the whole Roy Moore thing. Yeah, couldn't wait to get out. I mean, I think I'm right about that.
You could be.
The people of Alabama did the right thing, but, you know.
I would not blame Max. So Max is available from Anti-Cruelty Society on Grand and LaSalle, and we hope, you know, it's a challenge. So when I first started doing this, these shelters would bring in little puppies. They would bring in the cute white fluffy dogs, Andrea, remember?
Yeah,
and then something happened. Mm-hmm. They said, let's up the ante a little bit. We can get these dogs adopted. So we got the three-legged dogs, and we got the pit bull type dogs. Not that they shouldn't be adopted. They should be. And now we have a seven-year-old dog. So.
But here's the thing. The life expectancy of a German Shepherd mix, a mutt, I mean, that dog could live to be 12, 13, 14
years old. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So if people are going, well, it'll break my heart in a few years, no, you can't look at it that way.
Right. I hope not, you know, and 7 or 8 good years, I hope. Maybe more. You know, I don't know.
Does a dog's diet, I'm just curious, does a dog's diet change? I have a friend who is now kind of transitioning her pet to an all, I guess, organic diet, either a raw diet. Is that what it is with the raw eggs or the raw meat?
Well, organic is one thing, and organic is certified as organic, and that's the only way it can be. When you see natural or all natural, that's just marketing.
Okay,
raw is an entirely different thing. So we don't know. We don't.
Can you transition a dog that you adopt to a diet like that, or
sure.
will your stomach not take it?
Well, the raw. I have some personal issues with the times,
okay.
Because the Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicine actually does not recommend raw food diets, but people do it anyway.
Right.
They feel they want to feed the wolf in their dog, but the truth is there is no wolf in our dogs.
Right.
I mean, that little Bichon sitting next to you or sleeping right next to you, it's been thousands of years, 12,000 years plus.
Yeah.
And in fact, dogs evolved with us, and so did their nutritional needs.
Right.
So dogs' nutritional needs are very much like wolves, but actually more closely aligned to our own.
So what kind of food do you recommend?
Any food you want that your dog does well on is what I say.
Right.
You know, to a degree, like anything else, the more you pay for it, the better it is.
I've never asked you this. Where do you stand on table scraps?
I think that... First of all, it depends on the table scraps. So if you're giving something that's dangerous to a dog,
what about sushi? It's so sad. So sad with
sushi.
So sad with the chopsticks and the paws. Yeah. Oh boy. No, a steak.
A little piece every now and again is just fine. My problem is feeding that dog from the table and understanding that, okay, so right here, Max weighs what? Maybe 42 pounds?
Probably.
Something like that.
Something like that.
43 pounds, somewhere in there. So I weigh a bit more than that, so I'd want to feed Max just a little bit of scrap of it. Giving a whole, like, little steak, a petite filet or something, that would be like us eating 4 petite filets.
Yeah, and it's also there's choking issues and other things. Stand by one
potential,
second.
Yeah, if there's bones, stay
you
away.
Don't want to mess
with
that. Stand by one second. What do you got?
Yeah, we have an incident. We're going to have more details at 9:30, Steve. There was a gun brought to school at the Dixon High School by one of the students. This is being confirmed now by the Dixon City Manager just about an hour ago, and then a shot was fired at the safety officer, the security officer inside of that school. The officer returned fire and shot the suspect. The injuries are non-life-threatening, and that suspect is in custody. No students or staff were injured. But we wanted to make you
Sounds
aware
like that
could
have been a lot
following.
Worse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So, Colette, where do you stand on table scraps? You agree with Steve?
Yeah.
By the way, you don't have to just because Steve Dale's here.
I think Max has enjoyed a few table scraps.
It seems
there,
probably.
So. Are you guys picking on Max? I think Max is in good shape.
And actually, obesity is a problem in cats and dogs. So more than half of our indoor-only cats are obese or overweight.
Is it mostly a problem in fat cats and fat dogs? Is it more of a problem in those dogs?
What is?
Obesity. Obesity more of a problem in fat dogs than it is in thin dogs? Keep up, man. It's a long show. When are you on again?
I'm on Sunday, as far as I know. Is that changing?
No, I don't believe
okay,
so.
Okay, good, Sunday? Good. I was worried
what
about
time Sunday?
Dr. Donna Alexander, our county veterinarian, will be here at 6:35 Sunday morning to talk about a great idea. It is offering low-cost rabies vaccines to people that otherwise can't afford them. We're also going to talk and give an update on the dog flu. And the biggest event ever is this Saturday.
It is?
Yes.
Bark in the Park.
Yes.
Oh, Bark in the Park's good.
It is a good one.
So yes. Tell us about it.
So it is Saturday, May 19th. The 5K walk starts at 9 a.m. Registration opens at 7:30 a.m. There's plenty more to do if you're not interested in walking. We've got a dog agility course. We've got plenty of food and drinks.
And how much does that food for people cost?
The food is free. It's included in your registration.
That's tremendous.
Yeah for
nice
me.
Nice job for the sponsors.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's a wonderful. This first year that all the food for people is free.
Wow.
If you're sloppy about eating like I am and it falls, then the dogs get, I guess, some of it. I don't really know.
Yeah, it's nice.
To your point. And also, there will be what else?
There will be a pawdicure section if you would like to get your dog's nails trimmed. We've got...
and colored?
Yes.
What are the fashionable colors this year?
I don't know. I don't know what... It's up to you. You
get fuchsia?
To yeah, maybe.
I don't even know what fuchsia is. I don't know.
You work with pets all day. Can you possibly get a manicure yourself, or is that impossible for you?
I actually do have a manicure.
Okay. So so that's not impossible in
the
pet world.
It's not impossible.
Okay. Our friend here, Max, needs a home. That's the main reason we're talking about this.
He's hoping to come to Bark in the Park on Saturday, but he needs a home first.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Anti-Cruelty Society, Grand and LaSalle. Bark in the Park is right next to Soldier Field this year, and it's that beautiful space that if you walk it, so there's a 5K. If you bring your dog, you don't need to, but you can walk this 5K. And that's where when photographers come in from Paris or from New York City or wherever to shoot pictures of Chicago, that's where they go. So bring your cameras, bring your phones, because it's supposed to be a beautiful day, and the views of Chicago's amazing skyline look
tremendous.
Terrific. Yeah.
Stick around, because I want to ask you guys about a very pertinent topic this time of year, and that's dogs in the car.
Oh, sure.
There's a story that broke this week about someone who was arrested for leaving their dog in the car. He swore he just ran into the store for a minute, and he may well have, but the local law was, and this could affect you here in Illinois, if you see a dog in a car and you're concerned, you can break a window in this particular state to free the dog, and that individual was arrested. Hmm. So there's two sides to that argument, obviously, but the number one concern should be the safety of the animal.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that in just a second, see where Illinois is headed on it.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, you're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time.
Steve Dale's here, Colette's here, and Max is here. We're trying to find Max a new home. More on that in a second. If you're watching on CLTV, you've seen mostly Max's tail and butt. But you've got to look. Max is a good-looking dog. Trust us. And at 7 years old, the stereotypes are, well, too old to adopt, blah, blah, blah.
I hope not.
And we don't believe that to be the case.
No,
this is a healthy dog.
Yeah, very healthy.
So healthy, a couple of pounds overweight.
Yes. And you know, so Anti-Cruelty is one of those shelters that does most things right. And you've heartworm tested the dog. The dog is negative for heartworm. The dog has, by your veterinarians, been in good health. And it turns out you're right, is a couple pounds overweight, which means Max was well taken care of by someone.
Right.
Is a well-mannered dog. Doesn't know tricks, but is a well-mannered dog.
Hey,
seems to like.
Don't be getting on Max. I don't know any tricks either.
He sits. He'll sit.
Really?
Yeah. He did for Andrea.
Well, so would I.
He did. And then he jumped up.
A couple of texters, they were asking about the trouble at the Chicago Ridge Shelter. They're trying to get it fixed. It's a long story.
We don't have time. Yes, it is. So the Animal Welfare League of Chicago is a facility we need operating, and we need operating right. They're an open intake facility. There aren't many of them in Chicago. And without,
but Google it up, right? Google it up to get the
full
story.
Oh, yeah. I've written about it on my blog as well.
Which is
SteveDale.tv.
Okay.
And they are, thank you, and they're in the process of fixing it. I believe, I hope, I want to be optimistic, that they are moving in the right direction. The board of directors seems to have stepped up and said, we need to do something about the problems here. I hope they are doing it. And the community out there has been terrific in making things happen in a good way.
Somebody else called, said there's a stray cat in their yard that they feel badly for. Steve says the moist cat food, Temptations, I believe you called it the crack of cat food.
Kitty crack, yeah.
And an anti-cruelty society outlet would be happy to provide you with a humane trap to catch the stray cat.
Right.
To then have the anti-cruelty society get the cat and take care of it and adopt it.
Maybe. So if it's truly a feral cat, the best thing to do is actually, in my opinion, I strongly would suggest that the cat be spay-neutered, but then released right back to where it came from. If it's truly a feral cat, if it's a previously owned cat and a friendly cat.
Well, how do you know it's a feral cat? Wait, question it?
Yes.
I've mostly lived in the wild.
And it's kind of personal. It's a personal question.
It is. Sometimes you have to get
Do they tell it by condition? How do you tell?
You could tell by the demeanor of the cat. Okay. So experts can tell whether the cat is just afraid or if this is truly a feral cat.
Okay. There was a story, as I mentioned before the break. A dog is left in a car. Somebody walks by. The dog is in their opinion, crying out. They break the window to release the dog. They first call the police. The police in that area recommend breaking the window and say they're on the way. This is a legal act in this particular area. And I wish I could find the story because I don't remember the state.
Mm-hmm.
But this happened this week. Is there a law in Illinois covering this?
We're getting there. So there is a law in Illinois that is written better, in my view, than the laws that exist. I think it is 12 other states that say, yes, as a good Samaritan, you can, if you see an animal in distress, break into that car. The proposal sailed through the House of Representatives here, which it wasn't necessarily expected to do. It sailed right through the House, overwhelming number of votes. In the Senate, in a committee, it is now stuck. Wow. And we're going to learn today as to what's going to happen with that, whether it's just going to kind of sit there and it'll be brought up again in the fall, which can happen, or if it'll be voted down or voted up. I suggest probably it'll just be stuck there, but I don't really know. I hope it's passed because this is, you know, dogs still die in hot cars. And for people that say, well, let's do education, groups like the Anti-Cruelty Society and on a national level, the ASPCA and Humane Society of the United States and others have been doing this education for years. I have as well. Well, at some point in time, when do you say enough is enough? Also, we know that laws, once they were made more strict and it became a felony in the case of human beings to leave an infant or toddler in a hot car, fewer were left in hot cars. So the hope is that a law will do the same to protect dogs.
Because people, if somebody truly just went inside to a store and came back out, I feel for you. But if the law exists in your town that you're not supposed to leave a dog in a car, the Good Samaritan doesn't have time to judge whether or not the dog's in true distress or not. In other words, if you know the law exists, you can't bring your dog.
Well, so, but the
or
hope
take
is
take the dog out of the car.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the best answer is to leave your dog at home, you know. And if it's even 80 degrees out, that car in 15 minutes, even with the window open a crack, can heat up to well over 120 degrees. A person would have a difficult time. Dogs don't do as well in heat as people do. Especially dogs that we call brachiocephalic. Those are the dogs with the pushed-in faces. They look like they just walked into a wall.
They don't breathe the same way.
Yeah, they don't. Like a bulldog or French bulldog, some of the pit bull-type dogs, Pekingese, Shih Tzus, etc.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Thank you. They could actually succumb when a human being would do okay. Larger dogs have difficulty as well. So this dog would have difficulty just because dogs, they really don't perspire very much. They pant, and panting is not as efficient.
They're wearing
a coat. You are right. They're wearing a winter coat all the time. So I am absolutely for these laws. Enough is enough. We have to do something to protect these dogs.
There is one legislator, it's unofficial, so we don't want to say whom, but we believe we know who it is, who is against this because they say a law like that in Illinois would increase the likelihood of cars being broken into, you know, as an excuse. Well, first off, you'd have to find the dog in a car and then decide you're going to break into that car, and then you'd have to get by the dog to steal whatever is in the car. It seems like an excessive concern for the overall good of the law.
You just said it as eloquently as anyone can. I wish I could stand up and applaud you. I mean, yes. I mean, some of the arguments...
Your headphone cord's not long enough.
Yes. I mean, really, truly, some of these arguments are almost silly. They're so difficult to argue because they're silly. So... yes, I hope this is passed. I believe Illinois will pass it at some point in time and become the 12th or 13th state to do so. I hope so. And Illinois' law, as it happens, is in part thanks to the HSUS, is better written than many of these other states. So you have to, according to this proposal, call law enforcement or animal control first.
Right. And by the way, they'll guide you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that was the
right.
case of this particular story where they said, no, break the window.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
And then the cops came and they arrested this mm-hmm. particular individual. Steve, nice to see you as always. Colette, great to see you. And congratulations on your master's degree that you're about to pick up from a local, highly regarded university.
Thank you.
Do you want to say where you went to school?
University of Notre Dame.
I've heard of them.
Fancy, I know. So to learn more
popular.
About Bark in the Park, where can people go?
Anticruelty.org, and you can also learn more about Max there.
Yes, and Max, we got to get Max a home, and let's
find
do
him
it today.
Home.
Max is awesome.
Seven.
Max.
He's just getting into the prime of his life.
Max, don't look at me that way, Max.
Oh, look at that.
Dave, and it. A lot of these dogs have bonded with you, none more so than Max.
That could be.
I feel like I have to go into my general manager's office and go, what do I need to get you into Max today? Let's see if we can get this done. Headlines next, 720 WGN. We take pride on this show and all the various charitable organizations we help, and we thank the Tribune Media Company, Larry Wirt, Grand Poobah, for not getting in the way of any of that. And Ro Khan has been very supportive through the years of the Chicago Police Department and Chicago Police Department Memorial Fund, which is why it was such a grave disappointment when we came in today. And the name of our friend who came in?
Oh, Bridget came in today.
Oh, boy.
Bridget.
Oh, no. Bridget, oh, no. What did she say?
Bridget came in and said, Ro insisted I come over yesterday with a stack of stars that are being sold at 70-plus restaurants around the city to raise money
yes.
for the Memorial Fund. And Ro wanted a stack of them because he said he was going to decorate the window in the showcase studio with them. Uh-oh. Bridget came in this morning. I don't see any stars. Andre, you see any stars?
I don't.
Dave, do you see any stars?
No, I've been looking
stars.
All morning. I
not
don't
a
see
single
it.
Star. You big star hog. Where are they?
There should be a sign. Is there a sign
there
in the window?
There is a sign.
There is a sign in the window,
oh, yeah,
and the stars.
Yeah. An 8x11 sign in the corner of the window.
I did ask for a larger sign, but that's all I had, and I couldn't put all the stars up because that was not an agreed upon thing with the building. So
forget?
Yes.
All right. Well, I appreciate the honesty.
All right. I'll just go with I
gave her $100 in cash this morning. I expect you to at least match that.
All right, I will. No. You know what? You know what? Hey, you know what? All right, fine. I'll double it.
Oh.
All right. Now, can I go online and double mine?
Yeah, I'll email Bridget right
first,
now.
First, you're a huge disappointment, and then you show me up. What the hell's going on here?
That's just how it goes. I'm very busy. You know what?
You're very busy. That's a bad transition.
I'm very busy preparing myself for the royal wedding. I was not invited, but like Meghan Markle's father, I'm going to show up anyway.
With your heart surgery, I wouldn't do it.
With a hospital gown. I'm going to be in a hospital gown, and I'm going to, with open in the back, and I'm going to walk down the center of the aisle. And, I'd like to take my Markle down the aisle.
Let
now.
Me tell you something. I've seen the picture. I got to say, he's older than I am, but I think I could pull him off better than you can. taking a look. I think he's more of a Cochran-esque, though he's 70 years old sort of figure.
Ro, I have to ask you, did you just bring up the royal wedding because you wanted to talk about it or because of the promo that was running?
I just brought up the royal wedding because that's all I can think about right now. I'm so immersed
because,
in it.
Because, you know, we write promos every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And every Tuesday I promo that Ro's going to be on.
Yeah.
And yesterday the promo I wrote said, Steve and Ro will talk about their obsession with the royal wedding.
Totally.
And so I thought maybe Ro just was sliding that in there because that's what I teased.
Well, actually, that is what I did. But that's a separate. But thank you for giving away the commerce part of my art. I appreciate
The problem was I didn't tell Steve that that's what the promo said. So he wasn't going to be ready. But now
you mean the ones that I insist on co-writing every day? all right, so Ro, here's the thing. Do you have faith in this union this year? I mean, I don't know.
I don't have faith in any union.
Well, that's a fair point. You've seen a few. Yeah. But the fact is, she has some significant dysfunction on her side. He's got his own dysfunction for the royal family.
Yeah.
She's had a successful acting career. She's still very young in the business. Is she going to be comfortable taking a back seat?
Can I stop you for a second? You're in show business.
Yes.
Currently. Stand-up comic, talk show host, actor,
male model.
You've done it all. Mm-hmm. You're Harold Markle. You're playing him on an off Broadway show, one man show.
I believe it's called Mr. Markle.
I don't know. Is she really a successful actress? I mean, had we ever really heard of her before this?
Dave watched her.
Well, the Suits thing. The Suits thing was her break.
Yeah, I watched her in Suits.
Okay. Yeah, what if Suits was on what? FX or something, right? What was it on?
It was on
USA.
USA,
I think.
So okay, channel 9045.
Call me when it gets on HBO or a network, and then I'll let you know.
It's a different world. That's a successful show.
It has to be on a network?
Well, HBO.
Put it on one of the three channels I get.
I hope you don't tell Netflix that.
Or Netflix.
If it's not on 257 or 32, I don't watch it.
I would like to say that I'm watching America's Funniest Videos. And I just expect that there's going to be a nice show with a nice girl like a Meghan Markle right afterwards. Hey, listen, the whole deal is I know she was on Suits. I know that she was on something else too when she was younger, right? And she's been acting.
She was one of Howie Mandel's briefcase girls on whatever
Deal or No Deal. Yeah.
Well, Donald Trump was the dealer, right? So we know that so that we have a connection there.
Yeah.
And I just kind of think that this is, I'm not feeling this.
I hope, because I like Harry, I hope they last and they love each other forever.
Yes.
I just think this is a very oppressive way to ask someone to live who has lived a very fun, exciting young life to this point. Go get in the castle and stay there. That's essentially what we're talking about.
Tomorrow
we're going to get up, we're going to open a garden. And then the next day we're going to get up, we're going to cut a ribbon.
Right.
Diana moved in to the castle after she married Charles, and she was like, "Oh, it's so cold in here."
Yes,
so cold.
And she thought that would be the biggest problem.
Yeah,
and that was before winter is coming.
Yeah, so, right.
Yes.
Oh, I like what you did there. Yeah,
yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Is she registered? Do we figure that out?
Oh, we have to look that up.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, she's from. She's locally. She could be at the Bed Bath and Beyond in Evanston.
Yeah. So check the Bed Bath and Beyond in Evanston. I feel like we should get her something.
Paper towel holder. You like that? That's always nice.
Yeah,
you can always use those. You know what? You can always use more than one.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
So, what's on your show today?
Well, we have many things coming. First of
all, what's on your show today
that
you're aware of?
The show will start. Hold on, I'll tell you right now. The show will start at right around 3 o'clock, as it normally would start at 3 o'clock. The Sox game will just be ending over or just ending. And listen to this. Richard Roper will be here today to talk about Solo, a Star Wars story.
Oh, this is the Han Solo thing?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the most anticipated film of the week.
Okay.
Because I'd like to say of the year, but every week we have another one that says most anticipated movie of the year. But this is,
we're too old for this, right?
No, we're not. Generationally. Oh, come on. How old were we when
Star
Wars came out?
We were 76, 77?
Yeah.
All right. I was 15. You were 12.
Yeah. That was it. That was like, there was prime time right there, right in the bed basket.
Okay. Okay, Captain Excited. The Royal Registry shows what, Andrea?
Well, the couple has publicly requested that charity donations be made in lieu of gifts,
yeah,
but there is a Royal Registry for private members only at the Soho House. And they are, I think,
so they actually have a registry?
They
do. Ridiculous. But again, they're pushing their seven chosen charities that they want people to donate to. But there are bathrobes, slippers, and things of that sort. Just very...
Really?
Bathrobes, beds, energy-efficient light bulbs. Martini.
Oh, come on!
I'm not kidding.
I hate energy-efficient light bulbs.
And
I love the
glasses.
Fact that the royal family has to ask for light bulbs.
Yes.
All right.
It's dark
in
that castle, too.
This afternoon, starting right around 3, you're on it. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
10 o'clock, and Bill and Wendy are here. Hi.
Hi, Steve.
I wrote that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You don't have writers for that?
Yeah, no, I
that was beautiful.
All on my own. Wendy, I'm glad you weren't here earlier because Sandberg and Andrea were making a complete
terrible display.
I said because the guys at their radio station, yourselves included, set the bar so high. We're used to
that's a lie. Strong.
We had several very attractive rugby players in here, and they were all scrum.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Andrea tried to get them into a circle.
Almost.
The scrum bags.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah,
that's the name of my team.
I like it.
The Italian guy said my eyes are up here in Italian.
He said that in
Eduardo?
Italian.
Yeah,
Eduardo.
Yeah.
See, Wendy was listening.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have made a fool of myself like you girls did.
Oh, it was outrageous.
Oh, yeah, you would have. Outrageous.
I work with Bill every day. That's all I need. He's a scrum bag.
Yeah.
Just keep talking.
Yep.
And Bertrand. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah.
No, I just like the build descriptions.
Okay, then.
I'll take awkward for 200 yards.
I love you, Bertrand.
See you tomorrow.